Hello and welcome to Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 5th of November 2007, brought to you by azonano.com. My name is Stuart Cameron. In this edition of Azo Nano News, as well as bringing you the latest news from the international nanotechnology industry, we'll be hearing how nano diamonds may well be forever when it comes to treating cancer, how a synchrotron is helping to save babies, and how the Venus flytrap is inspiring nano engineers. In this week's interview, David Fruend will speak with Julia Zhao from the China office of Invest Australia. These stories and more in this edition of Azo Nano News. Leading microfluidics company Dolomite have announced the release of a new microfluidic connector that will enable engineers and scientists to interface to microfluidic chips, helping them develop and manufacture microfluidic-based fluid control systems more easily. The initial design of the inline connector has four ports for both fluidic and electrical connections and is engineered to connect easily and perform reliably. Microfluidic chips have had a big impact on instrument design and development. They enable small-scale fluid control and analysis, allowing manufacturers to develop smaller, more cost-effective, and more powerful systems. The new Dolomite microfluidic connector removes the need for expensive drilled holes in the chip by incorporating the holes into the actual chip fabrication process. Northwestern University researchers have shown that nano diamonds are effective at delivering chemotherapy drugs to cells without the negative effects associated with current drug delivery agents. Their study is the first to demonstrate the use of nano diamonds, a new class of nanomaterials, in biomedicine. In addition to delivering cancer drugs, the model could be used for other applications, such as fighting tuberculosis or viral infections, say the researchers. Nano diamonds promise to play a significant role in improving cancer treatment by limiting uncontrolled exposure of toxic drugs to the body. The research team reports that aggregated clusters of nano diamonds were shown to be ideal for carrying a chemotherapy drug and shielding it from normal cells so as not to kill them, releasing the drug slowly only after it's reached its cellular target. A tiny implant now being developed at MIT could one day help doctors rapidly monitor the growth of tumours and the progress of chemotherapy in cancer patients. The implant contains nanoparticles that can be designed to test for different substances, including cancer markers and metabolites such as glucose and oxygen, which are associated with tumor growth. The device can also track the effect of cancer drugs. Once inside a patient, the implant could reveal how much of a certain cancer drug has reached the tumor, helping doctors determine whether a treatment is working in a particular patient. Although such nanoparticles have been used before, this study demonstrates that encasing the nanoparticles in a silicon delivery device will allow them to remain in patients' bodies for an extended period of time. The device can be implanted directly into a tumour, allowing researchers to get a more direct look at what is happening in the tumour over time. Using nanoparticles tagged with both a fluorescent label and a radioactive isotope of the element copper, a team of investigators at the California Institute of Technology has shown that targeting small interfering RNA nanoparticles to tumours increased tumour uptake rather than tumour localisation. The methods that these investigators developed should be broadly applicable to studying nanoparticle distribution as part of the preclinical development process. In this study, the investigators used positron emission tomography to quantify biodistribution of the nanoparticles and imaging to measure small interfering RNA function in a mouse model of human cancer. Some of the nanoparticles were targeted with transferrin, an iron-ferrying protein that binds to a receptor overexpressed by many types of tumors. Although PET data showed that both targeted and untargeted nanoparticles accumulated to a similar extent in tumours, targeted particles reduced the bioluminescent imaging signal by 50% compared with non-targeted particles. A University of Arkansas physicist and her colleagues have examined dielectric susceptibilities of nanostructures, that is, the response of their polarization to electric fields, and found novel, seemingly contradictory properties that may change how such materials can be used by scientists and engineers to build electronic devices. The researcher and her colleagues examined a property called the dielectric susceptibility of a material, or its polarization response to an electric field. High dielectric responses mean engineers and scientists can build highly sensitive devices. So knowing how to maximize this property in nanostructures will help scientists and engineers make small, efficient electronic devices. The researchers used physical and mathematical models to examine the effect of an electric field on a nanostructure of lead zirconate, a ferroelectric material, and a material that can exhibit an electrical polarization even after the electric field has disappeared. Researchers at the University of Reading School of Pharmacy have developed an important new technique to study one of the most common causes of premature birth and prenatal mortality. Dr. Che Connan, a Research Council's UK fellow in stem cells and nanomaterials, and his team used a powerful X-ray beam to examine tiny structures within the protective sac, the amniotic membrane, which surrounds the developing baby. This beam can resolve structures far smaller than a light or electron microscope. Furthermore, unlike more intrusive forms of microscopy, X-ray investigation requires no processing of the tissue before examination, so it can produce an accurate measurement of amniotic membrane structure in its normal state. When the protective sac ruptures during labour, this is when the mother's waters burst. If premature rupture occurs, it can result in death or mental retardation of the child. Currently, premature birth is increasing and 40% are attributed to the early rupture of amniotic membranes. Thus, a better understanding of the rupture process will lead to a better treatment, earlier diagnosis, and fewer premature deliveries. Imagine a paint that adheres to a surface but releases on command, or road signs that change their reflectivity with changing weather conditions. These are two potential uses of a novel, responsive material designed by researchers at the University of Massachusetts Amherst Polymer Science and Engineering Department. The research was published online this week in the journal Advanced Materials. Inspired by the way a Venus flytrap captures its prey, Alfred Crosby and his doctoral candidate Douglas Holmes created a polymer surface covered with small holes capped by thin lenses of the same material. The lenses can snap between convex and concave when triggered. Venus flytrap leaflets work in a similar way. Through a combination of geometry and material selection, the flytrap leaflets snap from concave to convex when an object triggers their hairs. Biological and physical studies on DNA structures have revealed considerable interest in the electronic properties of DNA. Part of this interest is in using DNA as the basis for forming minute nanowires for use in ultra-small nanoelectronics. Molecular nanowires made from DNA can be a building block for the exceptionally small yet powerful computers of the future. The research takes us a step closer to understanding the electrical properties of DNA with the aim of producing nanoscale devices such as molecular wire. The National Science Foundation has awarded $2 million to the Center for Biological Interfaces of Engineering at Clemson University for the development of engineered tissues that will be used to study the causes, progressions, and treatments of breast cancer. The tissue engineering technology, which was pioneered at Clemson, is based on inkjet printing and will allow the creation of identical tissue samples that can be used to build cause and effect models. The Center for Biological Interfaces of Engineering, located in Rhodes Engineering Research Building at Clemson University, is a state-approved research and training center. Its mission is to promote the development of clinically relevant biomaterials technology and products for disease treatment and the transfer of this technology for patient care. How big does a cluster of metal atoms actually have to be before it starts acting like a metal? That is, it becomes ductile, malleable, and a conductor. The emergence of metallic attributes, usually referred to as the transition to metallicity, is among the most intricate aspects of the size evolution of properties of atomic clusters that are metals in bulk quantities. Researchers at Argonne and other research centres worldwide are looking for answers to this question, which is central for establishing limits of miniaturisation in nanoelectronic devices. Even the common metallic state becomes a complex phenomena at the nanoscale, and small or medium atomic clusters of metallic elements may lack all attributes normally associated with the bulk metallic state. In this week's Azo Nano News interview, David Fruin from Azo Nano talks with Julia Zhao from the China office of Invest Australia. Julia discusses her role in Invest Australia and how she's bringing Chinese investment dollars to the Australian nanotechnology industry.
This is David Fruin from Azo Nano on the floor at COMS 2000. I'm here with Julia Zhu. She's from Invest Australia. Welcome, Julia.
Thank you, David.
Can you give us an outline of what you do with Invest Australia in China with regards to nanotechnology?
Well, I'm based in Shanghai, China. We have three offices in China, and our job is to promote Australia in terms of the technology and resources, all the excellence, to promote Australia as an investment destination. In terms of nanotechnology, we are trying to work with CSIRO and also the China central government and different level of municipal, provincial level science commissions to organise some seminars and conferences.
Okay. Are you here today either promoting or launching anything in particular?
I'm here today particularly to attend the conference, the Nano Conference in Melbourne.
Yeah.
And I'm here to meet with the Australian government, academic and commercial sectors, try to understand what's good here, and then I can go back and tell the counterparts in China and try to see whether there are synergies of the two parties working together.
I know it's early at the conference now, but is there anything in particular that you've seen that excites you about nanotechnology and its developments in Australia?
Yes, this is the first time for me to attend a nano conference in Australia. I have met some scientists from Australia, from CSIRO, and I know that Australia is very advanced in some of the researches, particularly in biomedicine and in building materials. I think there will be of great interest in Chinese companies and also the research organisations.
From a personal perspective, is there any particular area of nanotechnology that you see having the greatest benefit to mankind?
Well, I think it's quite useful. Nanotechnology has been used in all aspects of the industries. Particularly, I would be interested in the medicine, in cosmetics and building materials, because I think there will be a great breakthrough in some of the technologies in other science sectors.
For the people that that can't be here at COMS 2007, who might be listening to this, is there a particular message that you'd like to send to them?
I would like to say that nanotechnology is a very new technology, and China as Australia, both scientists are working hard on it, and the Chinese scientists, like Australian ones, are very keen to work together.
Thanks for your time, Julia.
Thank you, David, for the opportunity.
Azo Nano Business News. Thomas Zachariah, Associate Laboratory Director for Computing and Computational Sciences at Oak Ridge National Laboratory, has also been named University of Tennessee Vice President for Science and Technology, UT President John Peterson has announced. Peterson said the joint appointment marks a new level of participation and integration for the UT-Oak Ridge partnership that enhances the capabilities of both institutions by sharing the expertise of key individuals. SCHOTT, the technology group based in Mainz, Germany, inaugurated industrial mass production of thin-film solar modules in Jena by its subsidiary SCHOTT Solar. By investing a total of 75 million euros towards a state-of-the-art manufacturing facility with a module capacity of 33 megawatts per year, SCHOTT will be creating an additional 180 jobs at its Jena site. Rasserk, the steam purification company, announces that it's been selected by Connect as a finalist for the 2007 Most Innovative New Product Awards for its Rainmaker humidification system. Now in its 20th year, the Connect MIP Awards showcases San Diego companies with cutting-edge high technology and has been a leading indicator of the industries and technologies that have stimulated the San Diego economy. FEI announced a field upgradable option to add backside circuit edit capabilities to its recently announced V600CE focused ion beam system. The available enhancement adds an infrared camera and bulk silicon trenching capabilities to the highly accurate and automated FIB platform, making the V600CE an ideal solution for all circuit edit applications for today's complex semiconductors. MEMSCAP, the leading provider of innovative solutions based on micro-electromechanical systems technology, today announced it's been selected by Diehl Aerospace for the Airbus Military A400M airlifter. MEMSCAP will supply the A400M with its digital pressure transducers that is a key element of the door's control and monitoring system. Embarked by Diehl on board the A400M, a military transport aircraft, which is characterized through its very high payload, its cruising speed and its range. GE today announced that it's been recognized as the world's top research and development company for proactively addressing the world's biggest high-tech challenges by R&D Magazine, a respected trade publication read by scientists, engineers and administrators who work in research and development. GE also placed first amongst R&D facilities where technologists would most like to work. Applied Materials Incorporated, the global leader in nanomanufacturing technology solutions, announced the opening of the country's first nanomanufacturing lab at Indian Institute of Technology, Bombay. Applied Materials has contributed equipment and technology to the Centre of Excellence in Nanoelectronics at IIT, Bombay. Well, that was Azo Nano News for the week commencing the 5th of November 2007. If you have any nano courses, events or exhibitions you'd like to promote to a global nanotech audience, don't forget you can list them for free at azonano.com. To review any of the stories you've heard about in this podcast or to stay in touch with the world of nanotechnology, please visit www.azonano.com. If you'd like to send us feedback or let us know about nanotechnology news in your part of the world, please email us at podcast@azonano.com. I'm Stuart Cameron. Thanks for listening.